Data enthusiasts, we've got another good podcast for you today. That's with Nishal Padmanabha. He is VP of Data and AI at ScoutB, the enterprise intelligence platform, Berlin-based. We talked about his baby today. His baby is very much around AI strategy and implementation. We talked about the type of stakeholders who would be impacted in the new age of AI implementation and how we can go about implementing and what areas to focus on. So a good all-round topic for data and AI professionals, both at senior and leadership level, about how to communicate with business stakeholders and the business generally. Enjoy the podcast. Nishal, do business leaders and non-tech staff really need to get educated on AI capability?
I think long story short, yes. And here's why I think it's very important to get educated around AI capabilities. It's not so much that the business group of people or non-tech people need to be able to get hands-on and, you know, design AI models and systems themselves. There are a few reasons why it's very important to get educated. One, there is still a lot of fear around what AI can or cannot do. And if the business team or the non-tech folks on that team, they don't spend enough time trying to understand the capabilities of AI, they will constantly be surrounded by fear rather than an understanding of how they can use that as a leverage to scale their business. The second thing that's important is the world as we know it is changing, not in the sense of jumping up on the hype and, you know, everything's going to get automated and people will not have things to do. But I think we are at a juncture where the augmentation of technology to enable people to solve very relevant, very complex business problems exists at the moment, and it'll only keep getting better, which means that your business can thrive a lot and can scale if there is a good understanding of what AI can do. And it's very important for everyone to understand, especially in a business or an enterprise ecosystem, that it won't be enabling an API, right? It won't be, oh, we are customers of XYZ who provides a large language model as a service. But it will be very much a combination of what is the nature of the problem that we have on our hands? What is our current solution? Why do we think AI can help us solve this problem better? And better here could be faster, it could be more economical, but it could also be helping you in a way that you never thought it could before, where it could actually hint suggestions based on a lot of domain knowledge and knowledge base that is probably sitting and spread across several of your systems. And educating oneself around this will actually help you to take decisions that essentially helps your business grow, and you don't end up losing your business to your competitors. You start getting that competitive edge. And I think it's very essential to be educated around this and the different kinds of education.
Excellent.
Important. It's not.
you were going on with some amazing points, so I didn't want to stop you there. But yeah, the short answer is YES, yes. Business leaders and non-tech staff really do need to get educated on this. We have a lot of conversation at the moment around data literacy and data education around a business. So it's great that we're being even more specific right now, because today's topic, as you and I discussed before, is going to be educating and implementing AI across a business. And with that, do you want to kind of set the scene for us around AI adoption within a business? What are some of the key considerations for tool selection or building those internal capabilities?
Yeah, I think it all starts with first understanding what is the problem, right? And you touched on the idea of data literacy. I think the idea of data literacy has existed for a very long time now. It's just that with the new generation of AI work that we see, that this starts to take a much stronger position because of the kind of impact it has. I think organizations will always face this challenge, right? Is it going to be a build versus buy versus, well, fine tune, I guess, right? So basically, are organizations capable of building, and is it in their best interest to build? Which essentially helps you answer the question, what is the problem you're trying to solve, right? And what is the economy around solving this problem? Who is your customer? What are they going to pay money for? What exactly are they going to get as a return on investment? And that will help you take these decisions, right? A lot of organizations have the necessity to build because they've been in the space for a very long time. But what I do see enterprises, medium to large enterprises adopting, and startups as well, is more towards buy and fine tune, where they can take leapfrog jumps in terms of buying a technology and adapting it to your domain, because some of these technologies, or most of them, don't really have access to your internal confidential data, and rightfully so. They don't understand your domain entirely. And without that, there is the kind of value that these systems can provide to your customers is comparatively lesser. So I see a lot of enterprises now moving in the direction of buy and fine tune, and which involves understanding the build a little bit, but more focused on rapid prototyping, bringing it into the market, learning from customers, enabling data access, which in turn goes to the first point, which is data literacy. Because when you want to answer these questions and you get into the method of fine tuning, we get back to the problem, how good are we with our data? How good is our data? What kind of data do we have access to? How much do we know our domain? And can we codify this in the realm of AI?
Okay. You mentioned competitive advantage earlier. And I think if there are kind of more traditional SaaS businesses that are not fully AI enabled, other than competitive advantage, they might not see the need for full AI capability. So with that need, as an AI leader and AI stakeholder in the business, what should you be focusing on to help you convince the business that AI capability in this area or that area is crucial for the next stage of the business?
Yeah, very good question, Joseph. I think it's very important to also get out of your comfort zone a little bit. I think what the new AI wave that we see is traditional SaaS businesses, if they're happy with their economy, if they're happy with their revenue, if they're happy with their customers, and they're sitting there wondering, okay, maybe we don't have to ride this wave. And there will definitely be people who will not, or organizations that will not ride this wave. But if you are an AI leader or a data leader in these organizations, I think it's very important to think about why. Strategy, simple understanding of strategy itself, like diagnosing.
Sorry, one more time. You cut out a little bit there.
Ah, sorry.
You were saying that data and AI, it was like the crucial piece of information. A data and AI leader should focus on?
On AI strategy. So you need to have a strategy, right? And a strategy is not about writing a vision that we'll be an AI company in 5 years. It's not about beating the drum constantly. It's actually thinking about what is the problem, right? Diagnosing where you want to be, right? And understanding, okay, we have a product, we have a SaaS product, these are our customers, and what do we think the future would look like for these customers? And is there value for us in solving this problem? Sometimes you might have to create new products and you have to bring them into the market, but that comes with its own risk, which is why a strategy is very important, because you understand and define the problem, then you put a set of steps that you need in order to solve this problem, where you think, okay, we have to take decision A, decision B, and these decisions actually come with a sound understanding of risk and reward, right? And you put all of these pieces together, you end up in a situation where you might have to create a new market segment or build a new product in an existing segment, change your user experience. I think even though you might have traditional SaaS, AI can probably change the way you think about how your systems actually work when it's interacting with its users. And the other one that you see is you can build a much better position of your product if you can. And I think it might be that you're in a good position now, but we've seen how the world has drastically changed, where Google, which was the market leader in search and continues to be, now has competitors which didn't exist 12 months ago, right? And Google's definitely sitting there and looking at this and going, okay, we are leaders, we have the biggest market share, but we definitely have to change something, because otherwise we will lose a market share. So that's, I think, the stance that I take. And data and AI leaders have a very big role to play. And there's one other piece that I would like to talk about, is security and privacy, which also sits in data and AI leadership. Where
as part of the strategy?
As part of the strategy. Because at what cost are you doing this, right? Which feeds into the previous idea of build, buy, and fine-tune, is you have to be very careful in terms of who is owning this data, who is consuming this data, where does the data sit, what are the security protocols we have, privacy. This will play a very big role. So, and yeah, I think it's a conversation that's going to happen a lot, because organizations currently are not equipped to make this shift, which is why you see big consulting companies such as Accenture's and Deloitte's fielding a lot of AI contracts to help organizations make this shift. But the fact that they now start to receive a lot more action on transforming organizations or helping them with the AI piece shows that people are interested way more than they were a few years ago in making this shift.
Interesting. Seems that they're interested, but not with the knowledge to take them there. And to your suggestion, get a consultancy to build a strategy. And the strategy is not about a vision, and it's not about promoting this vision across the business, but it's about identifying the needs of the business and also the needs of the customer. And embedded within that strategy, you'd also suggest a focus on security and privacy. You'd mentioned how you're seeing a lot of interest from industry now, and they're starting to investigate by investing in consultancies. But have you seen any resistance from business stakeholders these days, other than, you know, workers perhaps being resistant simply to the idea of changing their habits and their routines?
There's definitely going to be resistance, right? And I think that's where you have to be a bit careful, and which is why it's important not just in bringing consultancies to help you, but you as a leader in the organization should also know what you want from these consultancies and what do you really want to solve. And keeping users in that picture is very important. If you take enterprise landscape, right, the demography of users spread from people who've just graduated out of university and have joined the organization to people who are retiring because they worked in this organization for the last 30, 35 years, right? So you have to cater to that entire demography. And people who are used to working with their systems for the last 10, 15 years are not going to take to the change in an easy fashion, right? And they're not going to, you imagine they wake up one day and from typing into a form and clicking on buttons, they're now being forced to have a conversation with a bot, right? It doesn't make their life easier, which is why my emphasis on the idea of user experience and understanding your users and your product is, what part of this demography do you want to cater and how do you want to ease them to it? Because when we talk about generative AI, when we talk about AI in itself, a lot of people are moving in the direction of building conversational style work because that's the kind of experience they have. But there is a big realm of research and work that's happening where it does not necessarily involve a conversation, right? Your user people are filling a form. They could be prompted with ideas on how to fill the form better based on the content in a way that they never could get that before, right? And you think about from a product perspective, what you're essentially doing is you're making it easier for a part of your demography to use your product. And of course, you might release some cooler, newer features into your product that caters to the younger group who are upcoming, because you want to keep the nature of work creative and fun. And there's a whole lot of dynamics that kick in here where you have to stay relevant as an organization. And you, as an organization, have been in this space for the last, let's say, 30, 50 years, right? I think it's very important to know what is it that you want to change. And AI as a technology right now can help you in many ways than just thinking about conversations.
Interesting. So knowing what you want and being real specific, I should imagine, especially if you're having to communicate this or translate this to a consultancy who then has to come up with a solution for you. So we've talked a little bit about the implementation so far, and we've identified the need or how to go about finding the need. How about educating all stakeholders across the business? How do we go about educating the business to help them get through that transition? And then, you know, how do we go about educating, especially the non-technical individuals?
Yeah, I think one interesting thing that I start to see a lot in the organizations, and when I was talking to a few of my colleagues and also friends from different organizations as well, is people are not as less tech savvy as we think them out to be, right? Everyone is using, when ChatGPT came out, I think I saw some of our marketing team and business team people use ChatGPT way more than engineers did, because at that point ChatGPT wasn't great at writing code for you, right? And you see that the adoption is different in different groups. And I think that's very important to address, right? So it's not so much about saying AI is here, AI is great, let's jump on the AI thing, but to understand how are people using AI currently? Have they used AI at all? And sometimes people don't realize they're using AI, right? So if when you're typing on your keyboard, on your iPhone or Android, and the next words start to get predicted, it's just a feature that you're using. You're using, I don't know, Gmail to send your email, and you start seeing these completion things where you hit space and it gets completed. People are not sitting there and going, this is AI, but it is. So I think that's, it's very important to understand not just to wear the tech lens hat or the visionary hat, but to understand what is the nature of the job that people are taking, who are in the business, who are on the business teams, who are on the tech teams, and essentially helping them understand how they can use AI to make their jobs better. Imagine a sales professional would absolutely love to know anything and everything possible about a potential customer they're talking to. An AI system can help you that. So the same goes for marketing, where it's, if you're writing marketing content and you come up with a creative idea of what you want to write, you might need some critical lens to help you make it better. And if you're a graphic designer, coming up with ideas of what potential graphic designs could be very helpful. So I think it's important to have that dialogue within the organization and help people understand first what people are doing, what's their nature of jobs, see how AI can help them internally. It's not just about bringing AI into your product. It's also using existing products to make your internal processes and programs and development faster and also more effective, right? So, and it starts from there. And we've had so many conversations internally when it came out about what not to do, right? So we started seeing when initially ChatGPT came out, there was a leak from, I can't remember, I think it was Samsung's team, where the code was just sent to ChatGPT to ask for hints on how they could make it better. And suddenly you realize something that's your IP is now out there in public. So you not addressing that people are going to use AI causes more problems than help. So addressing it head on and saying, okay, you might be using these tools and it's okay to use them. You know, we don't think lesser of anybody because they're using tools to do their job. And I think that's one of the stigma that you might also hear in organizations or how people feel. But to give them guardrails of saying, okay, when you're doing this, don't send out private documents to the internet, right? Don't send out sensitive information. Know what you're dealing with. And that sort of helps build or reduce that resistance for AI within business and non-tech groups.
Yeah, yeah. I think you touched upon it there, but privacy. And there's been a bunch of cases, right, particularly in the music industry, where lyrics have been used. Although they're not private, they I guess that's a copyright issue, isn't it? They're not private, but they belong to someone, and then it's then used by some kind of algorithm to generate something new. I'm going on to territory that I'm not so familiar with there, so I'll stay on task. excuse me. You mentioned that in the early days of ChatGPT, we saw functional departments like sales and marketing using ChatGPT to find them answers or do basic tasks for them. and not data people. So I wonder then, because of the precision and accuracy needed around data for data science and data analytics teams, how much upskilling of those people and those departments needs to happen?
Yeah, no, very good question. I would say...
Can we assume that they're already there with capability, data people? And the reason why I think it's also a good question is because, or an important question, is because non-data and non-tech professionals in any organization are by default going to go to the data and AI people and go to the tech people whenever there's a problem. So it strikes me that those data and tech professionals need to have A+ communication skills and even A+ kind of AI teaching or AI fundamental skills.
Yeah, and I think that's where the challenge lies, right? So one, the AI field is changing so much so quickly right now. Even though the data science and the data engineering or the ML engineering teams are trying to, you know, stay afloat and have their neck above water and keeping up with all the news and everything that's happening, they also have a job to do, right? And they have their own timelines, their own set of work that needs to be done. And there are people who've not entirely bought into, even on the tech teams, the idea of large language models and their impact. So every team right now needs some upskilling. Even if you are a team with stellar people who has decade, chances are that you might have missed quite a few things because it's almost impossible to be on top of everything. And every tech team needs upskilling in different ways. If you are a data science team and you're building or you're using a large language model and you're trying to do something, you're going to need upskilling in terms of understanding how to do this best. If you are a data science team that's already sitting there and going, hey, we have our own ML models, they're good, right? Now the question is, can they be better with the data that you have? Or do we need to generate more data to make them better? What's the cost of making it better and what's the value? So you need upskilling there in terms of just understanding the economy of moving from your existing machine learning models to potentially new variants of machine learning models. And on top of that, you bring in a dialogue with business teams and non-tech teams with tech teams. You have to upskill the tech team to have the temperament to actually answer these questions, because a lot of times it's very easy to say, hey, I don't have the time and I don't know, or you give a very complex answer which scares people away. Because imagine you're a business person who comes in to ask, I want to solve this problem. I keep hearing about this. I see on my LinkedIn feed that my peers from different organizations are using these AI tools. What do you think about it? And as a tech team, you start getting into the details of a large language model and its technical capabilities and its pitfalls and what can happen and whatnot. Suddenly you start talking about, I don't know, back propagation and gradient descent and everything. The person in front of you is going, not just that, they're going to be afraid now, right? Because they start to ask themselves, do I need to know all of this to use this tool? Is this what my job is going to be right now? Do I have to make a shift to, you know, understanding all of this so that I can use the tool? Because their question was, people are using tools, can I use them? But then here, they're getting a masterclass on all about. So communication is a very big upskilling that teams need to get. And the better they get at communication, not just verbal, also written, because organizations lack written communication. And I'm not talking about sending GIFs on Slack or on Teams. I'm talking about writing stuff down with clarity and helping people navigate through parts that they don't feel them enough comfort in navigating themselves. Written communication plays a huge role. So every single team needs to get upskilled in a different way, which is why it becomes very important for leaders in different groups to address the elephant in the room, which is AI is here to stay, and different teams are going to be using it differently, some to build into your product, some to use existing products coming from other organizations, some to change their nature of work and how they do things. So you're going to have to spend a lot of time upskilling the team. And with upskilling, you build trust, you build clarity, and you also build some safety nets to let the team know, hey, it's okay that you don't know, you know. And I think that's very important too, because a lot of teams right now are going through fatigue where everyone's expected to know everything. And it's not easy for the teams. I can see being burnt out right now because they're sitting there reading about this on the weekends. They're constantly doing something because they're afraid of losing out or fear of missing out on topics. So yeah, upskilling is crucial for every single organization, be it small, medium, large, and do it in different ways.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, fascinating. We've run out of time, but I still want to ask you a final question. And that's around the future. AI is here to stay. So, and I suspect by the level up at which AI is now already entrenched in businesses, this is not a hoax. This is not a gimmick. It's a value add. What might businesses expect to look like in the near future, given AI's constant progress made in capability?
Yeah, that's a very big question. I think fundamentally the things that I start to see is in two big brackets, right? So efficiency and effectiveness. So you will see products start to become efficient, which means that they're going to probably become faster, more economical to use, with better quality, right? So that's the efficiency part. And you will see that in a lot of products kicking in, right? From CRM systems being built by Salesforce to ERP systems being built by SAP and the team, and you know, the giants of every nature, they're all looking at different ways to bring efficiency with AI, which in turn is their return on investment, right? If I can help through my products for customers to do their job better at a lesser price with higher quality, I would absolutely go for it. And that's where I see a lot of progress will be made in the space of AI. The other window where I see a big opportunity that we see with this new AI wave is effectiveness, right? And what that essentially means is building capabilities through technology to solve problems that you potentially could not before. For example, right? Think about dashboards in organizations. There are data warehouse teams, and then there are business intelligence teams, everyone's constantly busy bringing data, cleaning data, building dashboards. And these dashboards are there and they're showing your numbers and whatever you want to track, and it's good. But the challenge is that every single day your nature of job changes. You want to ask questions for which you need dashboards to understand that data or to munch through that data. But no team can provide you with that velocity, the kind of dashboards you need because of the programming that's required. But imagine you could come to a system not with the idea of staring at data, but asking a question that's relevant to the to what you're solving right now. And this underlying system goes ahead, picks up data from different places that it thinks is relevant, builds a dashboard for you to help you solve this question or problem. And suddenly you've moved entirely, not just thinking about efficiency or making this human efficient, but you've now made them effective because they're able to do something that they absolutely could not do before. And I see that happening everywhere, right? Dashboards was an example. You will see that in how people build their presentations, how do they make their pitches, how do they design their systems, the user experience part of it. So it's going to hit every single layer and it'll only keep getting better from there. And of course, I say this with a lot of enthusiasm, but data privacy, security, guardrails, validating that information's correct, all of that still sits key with respect to efficiency and effectiveness. Yeah.
For every piece of advancement, it seems that we're going to have rigorous stop checks in the shape of security and addressing privacy matters. So we're laying a foundation constantly as business evolves. Yeah. So it's not unreasonable that all this legwork should come with it.
Exactly. And data correctness too, very important. Is the data that you're being shown correct? And where does the validation come from? So that's going to play a huge role too.
Yeah, well, we've seen that already in court cases of lawyers referencing ChatGPT searched cases that don't exist.
Yeah.
Anyway, it seems like security and privacy is a topic we should save for another time.
Yeah.
Nishal, I'll leave it there for now. Thanks so much for your insights today. You've covered so many areas across AI strategy, working with consultancies, considering security and privacy, and I guess the checklists of things to consider when engaging and adopting and educating the business on AI. So once again, thank you very much for today.
Yeah, no, it was my pleasure. Thank you for having me.